Federal fisheries scientists have more bad news for New England cod fishermen already reeling from dramatically reduced catch allowances. A preliminary new report says Gulf of Maine cod have reached an all-time low, and even further reductions in fishing may be necessary. WGBH's science editor, Dr. Heather Goldstone, joins me now with more. Good morning, Heather.
Good morning.
Heather, give us some details from this new report.
Well, to quote the report released by the Northeast Fisheries Science Center late last week, the results of their new analysis indicate virtually every indicator of stock condition declined or worsened in 2013. In particular, they highlight two indicators of the health or lack of health of the population. One is that the number of reproductively active fish is at an all-time low. And in fact, they estimated at 3 to 4% of what would be needed for a strong, sustainable fishery. And that's down from 13 to 18% of what would have been needed just a couple of years ago.
Well, I understand that a full assessment of the cod population was not due for another year. So why has this report come out now?
Well, usually what the fishery scientists do is what they call benchmark assessments, full assessments of the health of a population. They do that once every 3 years for every species that's fished. For years, fishermen and politicians have been asking for more frequent data, saying that they need more frequent assessments in order to be able to respond in a timely manner with management decisions. But for most of those requests, NOAA has been saying there simply aren't the resources to do this more frequently. In this case, they had some more data. They wanted to try to honor some of those requests. And so what they did was basically plugged in two more years of catch and survey data into the computer models that were used for the 2011, the most recent benchmark assessment for Gulf of Maine cod. And they wanted to get this information to managers because they said they were seeing, in between these benchmark assessments, just looking informally at the data, they were seeing some worrying trends, and they wanted everybody to know about that. So they have now done this informal process. It's a preliminary report that will still have to go through peer review, but it's also getting some criticism for not being part of the traditional process, for not being transparent enough, not having enough input. It really seems to be a symptom of just how polarized relationships between scientists and fishermen have become. And that, I would say, is largely a function of how strapped the fishermen are. If this report is accepted, cuts would almost certainly be in order, and that's probably really what's at the heart of a lot of the controversy. It's hard to imagine how much more they can cut, and the federal aid, $33 million of federal aid that came to New England earlier this year, is barely a Band-Aid for the affected fishermen at this point.
Well, Heather, the limits on the catch of cod were cut by some 80% 2 years ago. That's what prompted that federal disaster relief aid you had mentioned. Could this latest report spell the end of the Gulf of Maine cod fishery?
I have to say that's a question that occurred to me almost as soon as I saw these numbers. Are we headed for the closure of the Gulf of Maine cod fishery? And I think that's a question that's probably on a lot of people's minds. So to get some perspective on that, I turn to someone who has watched the closure of an Atlantic cod fishery. Dr. George Rose is a longtime cod researcher, formerly with the Canadian government and now the head of the Fisheries Conservation Group at Memorial University in Newfoundland. And he was around in 1992 when Canada closed the Grand Banks and Newfoundland cod fisheries, and he's been following cod populations ever since. And unfortunately, he says he sees some similar symptoms. One interesting one is what's called clumping or hyperaggregation of the fish, that when there are so few, they tend to all gather in one spot or a few spots that are some of their prime habitat, kind of making one last stand. And it's interesting because that could actually explain some of the discrepancies between the fishermen who are saying, we're still catching plenty of Gulf of Maine cod, and the scientists who are saying, well, when we look more broadly, we're not seeing them everywhere that they should be. But in terms of whether or not this is really, what we might call the final decline of Gulf of Maine cod, even George Rose says it's really hard to know in the moment whether that's what you're looking at.
No one really understood what was happening because, like most things, you learn from experience, and we had no experience like that before. The decline was so rapid that it really took everybody off guard. And I think it's fair to say that, even all these years later, we really don't have the perfect explanation about what really happened.
Well, Heather, given that fishing has been dramatically curtailed in the past few years, we're seeing this accelerating decline. Are there other factors? Like, what about climate change?
Absolutely. And that's that's one of the things about this decline now, is that it doesn't seem to be fully explained by fishing, because of course fishing has been cut back severely in the past 2 years, and we're seeing more of a decline. We're not seeing the cod populations responding to those fishing restrictions. And what has been seen is that there have been changes in the zooplankton, the very small microscopic animals that cod rely on as a food source, and that seems to be related to changes in water temperature. That could be one reason that cod are not recovering. For years, there have also been reports that warming water temperatures could reach a point that young cod can't actually tolerate the temperatures at some of their traditionally major spawning grounds. And then there are other ecological changes that they're facing, in some cases things from other fisheries, like the increase in lobsters in the Gulf of Maine that could be in part driven by lack of cod, but could then also be affecting cod populations. So there's this whole suite of things, and really when you've got a population that is so vulnerable and so stressed, the effects of all of those different things of fishing, the environment, and the different ecological shifts really become magnified.
Well, I know that Canada really essentially shut down the cod fishery at one point. Has it ever recovered?
Well, this is the one piece of good news, and it's limited good news, but this is perhaps the silver lining. If you'd asked me that question a few years ago, the answer would have been no. They'd essentially seen no change for 20 years. But in the past couple of years, Canadian scientists like George Rose have been seeing some improvements. And in fact, he's spoken out against efforts to get Northern Atlantic cod placed on the Endangered Species Act, and he says that some of those stocks and some of those populations appear poised to really take off in a positive direction. So he doesn't think that extinction is likely, but that also doesn't mean that what we'll see is a return to the old normal.
The way they evolved was to be numerous, and when we take them down to a very, very low level, really all bets are off as to how they're going to perform. They're going to have to kind of reinvent their whole life history and how they relate to the environment and how they reproduce and where they go and what they eat and all the rest of it.
You know, that, of course, doesn't happen quickly, as we're learning from the Canadian situation. And if we're to transfer those lessons here, even under a best-case scenario, it looks like Gulf of Maine cod fishermen probably have a tough 20 or 30 years ahead of them.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you so much. That's WGBH News Science Editor Heather Goldstone. Thanks, Heather.
My pleasure.
Our weekly conversations with Heather are part of the Living Lab radio project, and major support for Living Lab is provided by the Grantham Foundation for the Protection of the Environment. Additional support is provided by Lee McGraw through the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation.